This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome again to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Max Cohen, and live outside of Craven Cottage is Joe Tyvee and Emilio Danilo. This is our initial reaction to Fulham's very disappointing 2-1 loss to Reading, our initial reaction show. Let's not waste any time, guys. This is very disappointing. Joe, I'm going to go to you first. Your just opening thoughts on what you watched at Craven Cottage today.
Yeah, I mean, it was disappointing because I was turning up expecting 3 points, looking at Reading in the table, looking at how we can score freely. I know I should never do that, being a Fulham fan, but yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, we had enough chances to win.
Absolutely. We didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Reading had started off quite well. Although we had a bright start, they countered quite well. Yep. And scored a very good finish for their first goal. Second goal looked a bit sloppy from our side of things. Yep. But we still had, you know, decent chances. Hit the post, hit the bar. You know, we should have converted more than one of them. But you got punished. We got punished today. And it's a wake-up call that this division is not a walkover.
Nope.
Never has been. Even though we did, you know, I expected and a lot of us expected a fairly comfortable day. So wake-up call, but I'm not panicking.
Okay. Emilio, over to you. My first thought after watching this match, I think you're going to like what I'm about to say, not like the result. It reminded me of the Hull City match 2 seasons ago when we got punished. It felt like that again. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good point. It did feel like that against Scott Parker when we had Scott Parker as manager a couple of years ago. I think the Bristol City game as well that day when we lost 2-1,
yes,
and we got a late goal to give us some hope, but overall, we had enough chances in the game, like Joe said. You know, I predicted a 3-1 win, and we started brightly the first 10 minutes. But then, you know, we were always under pressure from the counter attack from Reading. We gave away two stupid free kicks halfway in the middle of our own half. We conceded another. We were just a bit wasteful in front of goal, and we conceded a few too many free kicks. We had a terrible referee, one of the worst referees I can remember. He set a bad precedence, early yellow cards, and that was a tone for the rest of the game. Any foul, yellow card. But, you know, we had enough chances there to get something out of the game. And we were wasteful in the first half. Bobby Reid, 1-on-1, you've got to score. You know, hit the bar, hit the court, you know, hit the post. It's one of those bad days in the office. I'm not going to panic, but, you know, 2 defeats in a week does slightly concern me. I think we touched on this at the beginning of the season under Silva, his defensive record. We're starting to see a few goals conceded, bit of sloppiness. We gave Reading's hope an opportunity to score a goal, which they took full advantage of. So overall, I think we threw that game away, to be honest. I'm disappointed. You know, that's what frustrates me. You know, they're a poor team, but
that's not a great
to our weaknesses
team.
And we gave them opportunities and they capitalized. So overall,
on reflection,
we didn't deserve to lose, but the scoreline suggests, you know, otherwise we lost and, you know, we have to move on.
I agree. And I'm just going to say this and go over to you, Max. This Steve Martin referee, he's not funny. Okay, I'm being serious. He was terrible, but that's beside the point. He's not the reason why Fulham lost in this match. When we look back at the Birmingham City match, Fulham were very clinical. They weren't clinical here. And I'm just going to throw this out to you. And I said this to you earlier. I think the turning point of the match was Bobby Decadova-Reed's miss early on. They score there. I think this is a different match, Max. Just give me your overall thoughts on this loss, and do you agree with me on that early miss from Fulham?
When we go behind, we don't inspire confidence that we can go back and win the match. And it's only been two times a season in the league, and it's the past two Saturdays, Blackpool and then today against Reading. Yep. And it's not really good enough. Yes, we had enough chances to win, and yes, the finishing was poor. But for too often that second half, it just seemed very forced. The ball's out wide, the tailbone crosses. Cavalero should not be starting. I'm sorry. That was a disappointing performance from him. Okay. I don't want to see him in starting 11 again this season because so many crosses were to the keeper. And when we have all that possession, yes, we created some chances, but most of the time that second half, when we needed to be at our best, we looked lackadaisical. And that's so disappointing. As Joe said accurately, it's a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Not time to panic, but
no.
The championship, we're not going to walk this league. You know, Bournemouth at the top of the league now. You know, that has to be a wake-up call for us too. But sides are going to give us a tough time of it. And honestly, Reading played some very good football today. And they had a game plan. They stuck to it perfectly. We have to be ready for when teams sit back on us. And when we go behind, I've not seen it at all this season that we can flip the script in a match. If we go ahead, it's all well and good. And it's all smooth sailing. Where is the character from when we go behind? We can't really get back into it.
That's actually a great point. Joe, I want to get your thoughts on that because we've shown that we're great front runners. Fulham are great front runners. They are dominating when they are ahead.
Yeah.
When they have dealt with adversity so far, they haven't passed the test, Joe, because they had opportunities to get back in this match. Like you said, you have Mitro hitting the crossbar, obviously early with Bobby Decadova-Reed. Late on, you have the opportunity from Josh Onuma. That's not his fault. That was a great save by the goalkeeper. You guys probably got a good view of that. When you have that many opportunities when you're creating, but to Max's point, it did seem forced when we went behind. There did seem to be a little bit of a panic in Fulham, even down 1-0. They just didn't seem to be the same team. So what are your thoughts about all that? Do you think that this is something, again, I still think Fulham have a very good chance to win the league. Nothing has changed my mind. But they need to fight through adversity better than this.
Yeah. I mean, Max does raise a good point. Although I'd counter that by saying it is early days. I was there at Blackpool. I took my daughter up there for
a
weekend. No, it was a lovely weekend apart from the result. And we did struggle once we went behind to break the team down. But you've also got to look at the opposition. They know that we're one of the best, if not the best team in the division. And when they get a goal and they get ahead, you know, they're going to shut up shop and they're going to keep it tight. And, you know, they're going to frustrate us because that's the only way they're going to win. If they're going to play open and expansive, they'll get murdered. So it is a good point. Let's see how that pans out in terms of having the character to come back when we're behind, because as Max says, in the other games that we've won, we've basically sort of just took the lead early and just built on that. And it was nice and easy. So when the backs are to the wall, let's see what happens in the future. But yeah, we need to keep an eye on that.
Absolutely. It's a great point. Over to you, Emilio. What are your thoughts about that? Because, again, Fulham, great when they're ahead. But when they face adversity, when they go down, especially also when they don't score that early goal, that's why I go back to a turning point of the match being the Bobby Decadova-Reed miss. And, again, it shouldn't be him missing that things go awry, but they did. So what happens when you go down? How do you react to it? And like Joe said, you have a team that got ahead. They put everyone behind the ball. They were just waiting for the counterattack, and they knew how to neutralize us. So this is going to be a challenge now for Silva and the players, that they're going to have to overcome adversity in situations when teams go ahead on them. They're just going to make it difficult on them.
Yeah, and I think I'd sort of take a slightly different perspective. I don't disagree with what the guys have said, but I looked at our starting 11 again. And then many of us weren't necessarily over complaining as such, but I think the balance in midfield was quite poor. I thought we were grossly understrength in that middle of the park, and I think that played to Reading's hands. You know, I think Shalabar started off brightly first 10 minutes. I thought he had generally a poor game, to be honest. you know, me and Joe and others around us were crying out, make the change, Marco Silva at halftime, bring on Moonies and bring on Onuma. We actually said that. And so my turning point in the match is Silva not making changes until we're 2-0. For me, 1-0 down, you've still got 45 minutes and added time. You didn't make the change, Silva. You waited till the 55th minute when we're 2-0 down to make those changes. Too late for me. You saw things weren't working quite right in midfield in the first half. We gave away possession quite cheaply. Both goals, I think, were our own downfall to some extent. Yep. We looked generally just quite under strength, quite weak. Seri had an early yellow card. So, again, he was sort of, you know, another foul. He would have been off. So, again, there was a tactical change when he got substituted. So, for me, I think we should have made some changes at half-time immediately, regained the balance and strength in midfield, and that would have given us more hope and more opportunities to get something out of the game. If we scored early in that second half, we would have won that game. But unfortunately, yep. Silva, I'm going to criticise him because he's not God here. Just because he's had a good start of the season, he's made mistakes. You know, and, yep. But again, we don't focus on those. So we give criticism where it's warranted. And sure. We give, you know, and also similarly with productivity. But I think the midfield was weak today. And I think we saw that played into Reading's hands. And you saw the two goals stemmed from maybe just not having enough strength and depth in that middle of the park.
Okay. So who would you have gone with, Emilio, if you were Silva?
I would have changed it at half-time. I would have brought Onuma at half-time.
Onuma, okay.
And bring on Moonies. Give him a chance. Give him 45 minutes at home, in front of the home crowd, 1-0 down. We were all saying it around us at half-time. But not when you're 2-0 down. You made some changes there. I would have changed it immediately at half-time. Something wasn't quite working that first half. You know, maybe Mitrovic was unlikely. That nice touch hit the underside of the crossbar. Another day, that would have gone over the line. 1-1, half-time, we would have gone on to win that game. But it just the balance of that midfield just didn't feel right to me, to be honest. Okay. And I think Reading capitalised on that throughout. And they countered brightly, especially in that first half.
Have to give them credit. Yeah, you have exactly. to give Reading a lot of credit because they set up beautifully against us. They just played us on the counter. And both goals, again, give them credit for both goals. But Max, what are your thoughts about that? You know, it's funny because I'm going to just share this comment. That's very funny, Chris, because again, I was just talking about Scott Parker. I don't care that they're top of the league. I don't want Scott Parker back. I don't want Parker Ball. I know what we're dealing with a loss today. Nothing changes with me on that. But here's something that is a good point by Emilio, Max. I always complain that Scott Parker was reactive. Was Marco Silva reactive in this match instead of being proactive? Thoughts on what Emilio thought that there should have been a change at halftime. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. I think whenever we play Seri from the start, we're going to be essentially a man down when we're playing defense because he doesn't track back. And I think if you look at both the goals today, you can point a finger at the center mid in that situation.
Did we miss Harrison Reed?
Yeah, we miss Harrison Reed 100%. I think we also miss Fabio Carvalho. We didn't have a creative spark. Wilson, I thought, was off the pace. No one really played a good match there. I think that's fair to say. And that's kind of what worries me is consistency is key in the championship. You have a lot of matches coming thick and fast. If you're losing, you know, two Saturdays in a row, there's an issue there. It's not a big issue, but I think the injuries are starting to creep up on us now. You know, we have this great squad depth, but when you're missing key players in there, it's going to take its toll. I think with what Emilio said, that's fair. I think Onuma made a difference when he came on. I think Manu's definitely made a difference when he came on. First of all, let's give him a shout out. Great goal.
Great goal.
He seems like someone who can be in the mix there. And I didn't think we were going to score if we played 150 minutes, you know, today, honestly. So it's great that he got in there, got that header. He has a good sense. Obviously, I want to see more of him. And he's still young, but he looks like a decent player in the box. Yeah, changes had to be made because Emilio's right. If we make those changes at halftime, you get an early goal, it's 1-1. Once you went down 2-0, you felt the game was gone.
Okay. Very interesting observation from Emilio. And again, like I said, I'm going to be consistent here. If he's being reactive like Parker, I'm going to call it like I see it. That's a very interesting discussion we're having because of Emilio. I'm glad that you brought that up. Joe, I want to go to you and I want to talk about the first goal in the first half. The timing of it was horrible because Fulham were on top. They did not take their chance with Bobby Decadova-Reed. You know, again, I say that the turning point was Bobby Decadova-Reed's miss, but the goal here, and again, I don't think you can blame the goalkeeper on this. I don't think there's anything that he could have done. How about Dennis Odoi on this? What are your thoughts on the goal, the first goal?
Okay. I can't remember too much about the build up. I would say that goal came as a culmination of Reading's best spell in the game. Yep. They were passing it through our midfield quite easily and countering quite quickly. You know, that finish was top class.
Yeah.
I can't remember what happened in the build up to it. All I saw in the replay at halftime was, you know, maybe a bit of a lack of closing down before he got the shot away. But, you know, I thought that it was coming.
Yep.
Even though we started brightly, Reading did get back into it before their goal, their first goal, and provided a couple of dangerous situations before that. So me and Emilio said it wasn't surprising when they scored. I just think the second goal was more cause for concern in terms of how Fulham dealt with it rather than the first, because it was a good finish.
Okay, that's very good. And Emilio, I'll go to you and let's talk about the second goal. I said this to you, and we'll have to get a better look at this afterwards, but when I was watching it, again, you guys are there live. I don't know if you got a good view of this. I thought the ball went out. I totally thought the ball went out. But regardless, you got to keep playing. And the play continues, and they score another goal. This is a poor goal to give up the second goal, Emilio. I want to get your thoughts on Ejaria scoring a second goal. That was the match winner.
Yeah, and I think just touching on the first point, I agree with Joe, because obviously the first goal, you know, they had a free kick early on. And I think, again, we conceded a sloppy free kick, which our goalkeeper made a good save, a fingertip save. And then a second free kick we conceded as well. So, again, we were giving too many too many free kicks away in that first half, and we were a bit wasteful, not just finishing, but also with our passing and with our fouling. But the second goal, I think it was on the other side of the pitch. And me and Joe were reflecting on that. For me, it looked like, was there a misunderstanding between Dennis and the keeper? For me, obviously, wrong side of the pitch. Should the keeper have come for the ball? It just felt like the ball looped over Dennis from what we could see. None of us have seen the replay, admittedly. But all I can recall is there seemed to be a misunderstanding. Was there a misunderstanding?
Was
there a misunderstanding between Tosin and the keeper? Was the keeper looked a bit static to me? But again, I've not had the hindsight of watching a replay. Just the first reaction was, I thought there was a misunderstanding between defender and keeper, and the keeper maybe could have done better. And then the Ejaria comes in.
I think that was more in Tosin, right, Max?
Yeah,
that's what it
felt like to me. But again, I haven't seen it. It was the other side of the pitch. I haven't seen a replay.
Okay. Very interesting. And Max,
What did you guys see then specifically around the goal? What actually happened there? Obviously, we haven't had that luxury of seeing replays.
Well, for me, it was on Tosin. But Max, what are your thoughts about the second goal?
Yeah, I think, the first issue is Ream gives the ball away.
Yes.
And we can't be doing that playing out of the back. We just can't be. And then the other issue is I'm not sure who scooped it over to Ejaria. Might have been Swift. But he just has no pressure on him. And if you look at Sarri's the only center mid I saw there. So Shallow was nowhere to be seen. Yep. Sarri's almost sitting at the edge of the 18, not pressuring Swift when he loops it over. So there's just no really pressure on that assist. And then, so I wouldn't point fingers at the keeper because Tosin was quite a ways away from the goal. It wasn't as if Gazzaniga could have gone out.
No.
And punched it. And Tosin just kind of gets out muscled and misjudges the ball. And you're right, it was very static because everyone just seems to be standing still watching. And he has all the time in the world to slot at home. So it was a bit disappointing, that second goal.
Yeah, definitely. But let's finish up. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the goal from Muniz. And then I'm going to get the guys' biggest takeaway from this match when we look forward after the match. Okay. Over to you, Joe. I want to get your thoughts. Fulham are down 2-0. It's getting in late stages. And Muniz came on, and he has an instant impact. You know, again, I thought he was bright. But his goal comes from, again, another header from Mitro. Heads it to him, and he puts it in the back of the net. Let's talk about the Fulham goal. Your thoughts.
Yeah, we were getting desperate then. We were pumping balls into the box from midway in their half, and I thought we weren't going to score. It's going to be one of those days, but great for Muniz to score his first goal. Really pleased for him. And he was there where it counted. And that is a, that is what you want from a striker. I believe his main attacking threat is with headers, and he was in the right place at the right time. So really pleased for him. We'll just have to wait and see. It might be interesting to see if Muniz and Mitro become a pairing in the future. Yeah. But it, yeah, very good for Muniz coming from the Brazilian league. This is a totally different world for him. He's got to try and settle not just his football, but his family life and his home life. So it was great that he got off the mark after two subs appearances, got his first goal.
Yep, I think that's a positive to take out of this. Your thoughts, Emilio, because it's very interesting. How will he play? Will he play with Mitro up front? Will it be a pairing? I thought it looked pretty good together. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Definitely. I think that was one of his early touches. He had a really nice, you know, silky touch. I remember that was one of the early moments I saw of him. So, you know, that gave us a lot of hope. He's a lot bigger than I thought he'd be. Again, looking at him, you know, face to face and on the ground, he's a big bloke, to be honest.
Yep.
Worryingly, I saw him, he picked up a knock about 5-10 minutes before the end of the game. So I don't know if you guys saw that, but he was limping, you know, 5 minutes before the end of the game and right through the added time. So hopefully he's not picked up an ankle injury or some sort of hamstring. That didn't look too good, to be honest. But there's hope there. I think him and Mitrovic potentially could be a good pairing there, to be honest. He's going to have to play more games, but clearly he's picked up a knock. So we need to see the outcome of that. But you know, the guys behind me were saying some of the video clips they've seen of Muniz were all from headers, and clearly he was in the right place and then scored a header, you know, and gave the fans some hope. But it's, you know, it's one of those things, too little too late. But we still had enough quality there, you know. It was like, to Max's earlier point, a lot of crosses into the box, some of them not too good, some of them, you know, keeper made a great save from Onuma at the end. I thought that was going in. And maybe we'll debate also the Mitrovic. You know, we haven't seen the incident there at the end, but our reaction immediately, right in front of us, was he was tugged. Mitrovic didn't go on the ground immediately. I don't know what the replays are suggesting. We felt it was a penalty, but I'd like to see what you guys think based on the replays that you guys have seen.
Max, what are your thoughts about this? And I'll just share that Gentleman Jim thought that Mitro just went down. Well, I'll just share that with you guys.
I thought he stood up quite well. I thought, you know, he looked quite strong, didn't he, Joe? I don't know what you saw, but from what I saw, Mitrovic stayed longer on his feet than maybe he would have done normally, which intended that he was trying to do his best to stay on his feet, and then maybe got pulled a little bit too hard and, you know, and then fell. I don't think he fell dramatically from what I saw. But then again, in the moment, sometimes you sort of take a different perspective, don't you, when you're there hoping to get something.
Right. You know, and as we always say, Emilio, it's the hope that kills you.
Yeah,
especially at the end of a match like that. It's the hope that kills you. Max, what are your thoughts about it? You and I saw replays of it. You know, again, I just heard Gentleman Jim keep saying that he thought that Mitro went down pretty soft. I'm paraphrasing, but he didn't seem to think it was a penalty. I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, I think it was. He was kind of leaning into him, looking for it. But it was actually unfortunate because Onuma was coming around and looked like he might have had a shot off.
Yeah.
And Mitrovic kind of swung a leg at it and took the ball away from his own player. But it was all kind of frantic. And although it was nice that we were really piling on pressure in stoppage time.
It's not enough, though.
It's too hurried. And you take a step back and you say, it's Reading at home. And that just would have been for a point. So just by that token, it was a disappointing afternoon.
Absolutely. Regardless, even if they got a point out of it, it was going to be disappointing, Max. And let's finish up again. We will have we're going to have another combo show. The combo shows have been great, which will preview the Leeds match, and then we'll look back at this in a more post-match style show. But what's the biggest takeaway you take out of this match, Max, when you look back at it?
I think Joe said it the best when he let off the show, is a wake-up call. You know, we've had a lot of happy times.
After the Blackpool match?
Yeah, we did, and I think we responded well in the week, but I think this is a bit more worrying. You know, you got two losses in consecutive Saturdays. It's a tough league, and yes, we have the quality, but I think so much of our success rests on getting the first goal.
Yep.
And either we get that first goal, which I'm happy to do, or we find better ways to get ourselves back in a match after trailing. And I think people have pointed to Marco Silva's record at Everton, disappointing point tally after going behind. that can't happen at Fulham. In the championship, you're not going to have smooth sailing up 1-0 every single match. You're going to need to fight back. So, again, not saying we're not going to get promoted, not saying that this is a disaster, but this team just understood in the past week, this division, they're no easy matches, and they have to step up a bit more. And I think we'll get players back from injury. Carvalho coming back will be big. Reed should be back. And we'll have more rotation. But
yep,
definitely.
I agree. Over to you, Joe. Do you agree with Max that the biggest takeaway is also what you said at the beginning of the show?
Yeah. Like I said before, Max did raise a very good point about how Fulham play going in front and how we play going behind. Yeah, really good point. I suppose in a light-hearted way, my takeaway from this game would be don't come to Fulham ever expecting what a win. because I don't often do that. But I thought today, I'm just going to turn
up. You did it today, though, right, Joe?
And 3 points in the bag.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing that again this season.
No. Well, honestly, Joe.
Every blade of grass, every tackle, every shot has to be fought for in this league.
Yes.
And I've, even though the results have been spectacular, some of them, yeah, fours and fives, I'm not going to take this league for granted.
I totally agree with that, because I'm going to tell you, watching it before the match, I had that same attitude, and shame on me, because this league is vicious. It eats you up, and every opponent can beat you, and I don't care who it is. And we found that out again today. Reading are just an average championship side. Blackpool are a below average championship side. And look what's happened the last two Saturdays. Emilio, what's the biggest takeaway you take from this? And we'll wrap it up.
I think it's similar to what the guys have said, but I think it's how we, you know, how we recover from a defeat. We recovered well against Birmingham and won comprehensively midweek. We've got to do the same again in our next league game against Coventry City next week. But it's, you know, I was hoping to go unbeaten all season at home. That would have been nice, but unfortunately, don't take nothing for granted. And that's why I thought after the Blackpool defeat, it was good to lose early in the season, because it's a wake-up call and you can start to reset expectations. But to lose twice in a week, I'm not worried, I'm not panicking, but what is seemingly an easy-ish start to the season, we've lost a quarter of our games. So that's just a little bit of a reset there, to be honest. And I think, you know, obviously we've said we haven't picked up any points after going behind in a league game this season. So that's something we need to work on. But it's about focusing. You know, we've had a few injuries, but this squad is probably the best in the division. So we should have enough quality and depth there to replace the likes of Harrison Reed and Kenny Tete. But we're starting to see, you know, Birmingham, we were good. But Blackpool, one-off bad game today. Reading took the capitalise on our mistakes, and you know they turned us over. So I think let's just look forward. We've got enough quality here, but we just need to have reset those expectations. Like the guys have said, we're not going to walk this division as easily as people think, and there's going to be harder games than tonight, today, and Blackpool. So we've got to rise above this and actually just turn all the teams over. Just play to our strengths. And at times today, I think we were just wasteful. And we gave Reading too much possession, and they looked dangerous coming forward. And I think that was our own downfall, to be honest.
I think Fulham panicked when they went down. That's what I think. And that's my biggest takeaway from this, is that they panicked and they were having trouble fighting through the adversity. And I think really good teams, championship teams, do a great job of fighting through adversity. They need to do a better job of it. Like Max was saying, the record of Silva's team at Everton coming from behind isn't great. They need to do a better job. Max is 100% right on that. What I come out of this, if they don't fight through the adversity, they won't get automatic promotion. They're going to have to do it. They're going to have to learn to do it, because you're going to be down. And that's something that we already talked about. They're great front runners. I need them to be a team that really focuses and finds a way to win. This is finding a way to lose. They found a way to lose today. You need to find a way to get points when you're behind. They need to do a better job on that. That's my biggest takeaway. They need to do a better job of fighting through adversity. They did not do a good enough job today. And they got what they deserved, the 2-1 loss. That's my thought. I know you guys might disagree with
that. That's the pressure that comes with it, with being the favorites to win the league. So that's, again, that's something they have to sit there.
Right, but they have to take that pressure on, Emilio, and they have to fight through that pressure. Are they feeling the pressure? It's adversity. They need to fight through it, and they need to do a better job. Great job, guys. Both of you. Thank you, Joe and Emilio, for joining us outside of Craven Cottage. As always, my media savvy man, Mr. Max Cohen, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Cohen, thank you as always for joining us. But we're going to wrap this up. For Joe, Max, and Emilio, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you as always for watching Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDougal share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.